reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Verbum Domini. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said of him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Verbum Domini.
The past 4 to 5 days have been very difficult for many Americans due to the loss of life of 2 separate plane crashes. The mid-air collision, the Wednesday night mid-air collision of American Flight 5342 with a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter over the Potomac in Washington, D.C., and the Learjet medical plane crash in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Friday evening. We pray for the blessed repose of the souls of all those whose lives were taken on Wednesday and Friday, and for all those suffering injuries from the crash in Pennsylvania, and also for all those who are suffering in grief. The pain of the families involved, of those who lost their lives on Wednesday and Friday for their sudden losses. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. May their souls and all the souls of the faithfully departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. It's hard to face how frail life can be. How frail this world is in our flesh. I often pray at Holy Mass for the souls of the faithfully departed, especially those who will die an unexpected, unprovided for death. It's something worth praying for often. We pray every day when we pray the Hail Mary, now and at the hour of my death. And how often we pray for the hour of our death, and we really don't know when it is. Just to keep in mind that we're always to remain ready. Mother Angelica would say very often that we should always be ready. We should always be ready for the coming of the Lord, not in a morbid way, but in a way of the reality to meet him. Most of all, to stay in the state of grace, the state of sanctifying grace, the state of friendship with God and neighbor. And I can say that flying into D.C. Reagan International will never be the same for me or for any other person. I think again, I fly in there and out of there once a month at least, I'm going to visit our employees in D.C. and just even in my mind's eye, I can think of coming in over D.C. and coming over the Potomac and the water. It's interesting taking off and coming into D.C. It's kind of scary, actually. But for all those who will do that, many people I know find themselves even scared to fly. So we pray for all those people who find themselves in that situation. Whenever I know a place where the loss of life has happened, as a priest, I usually say a blessing. I usually raise my hand as a priest. I usually bless the place where people have died. Often, there's a particular place in Hanceville where some young people ran off the road just a couple years ago, and it's a serious fire when the car went off the road, and I still, to this day, there's always crosses on the side of the road. I always, always bless that place and think of the people who lost their lives. think it's a good practice to pray for people that have lost their lives so suddenly and unexpectedly. Again, it puts us in touch with the reality of our frailness, how easy life could be taken away. The Lord Jesus is close to those who mourn. And it's in moments of crisis where faith and hope are accelerated into Christian charity, you might say. This is the Christian life. It's moments like this, moments of crisis, moments of suffering in our lives. It's like the person puts their foot on the accelerator. For faith and hope are accelerated into action, into Christian charity. And this is God's love in the midst of his people. God came to dwell among us, to inject us with his love, to fortify us, that he might dwell within us, not apart from us, not even just next to us, walking next to us, but actually in us. The living God dwells within each and every baptized soul. This is precisely why the Lord Jesus came to dwell among us, to heal and save a people who are lost, lost sheep, each and every one of us, the lost sheep, the one who was lost of the 99. Jesus goes out to search, to rescue. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, pitched his tent and tabernacled among us to save us. He has come to his people and set them free. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. And rarely is this feast celebrated on a Sunday. Rarely, it's usually celebrated on a day during the week where the faithful who come to daily mass, but rarely is celebrated about once every 7 or 8 years where all of the faithful come together and candles are gotten out. We light the candles. We, in some forms of the mass, if we had a bigger church, we might have a procession. This church is a little bit too small to have a procession, but it's a beautiful tradition where all of the faithful process. There's something very, very tangible about doing a procession, processing with other people, a body of people. And just last year, there was the ending of the Eucharistic revival throughout the United States of America. And from 4 parts of the United States, processed the Most Blessed Sacrament of the altar. From north to Midwest to Indianapolis, and from San Francisco to Indianapolis, from Connecticut to Indianapolis, from Texas to Indianapolis. It's the longest ever procession, Eucharistic procession, that they know of in the history of the church. It's powerful, the images of seeing the Lord being processed with his people. It was powerful. It gave courage. It gave hope. It gave strength. The faith is alive. Jesus processes in the midst of his people. The church has celebrated this feast since the 4th century. It has been 40 days since the solemn celebration of Christmas, the Lord's humble birth in poverty in Bethlehem. The open exhortation the church prescribes to begin the Holy Mass gives a clear meaning for this feast. You might say the theology is contained within the prayers of the church. In preparation for Holy Mass, even after Mass, even throughout the week, it's worth going back if you have Magnificat, if you have the Magnificat, to go back not only to read the readings, but actually to read the prayers of the church, the The faith is passed on through gesture, through prayer, through the liturgical prayer of Holy Mother Church. It's very rich in substance. And it reads this: 40 days have passed since we celebrated the joyful feast of the Nativity of the Lord. Today is the blessed day when Jesus was presented in the temple by Mary and Joseph. Outwardly, he was fulfilling the law, but in reality, he was coming to meet his believing people. Reflect upon that. He was coming to meet his believing people. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, Simeon and Anna came to the temple. Enlightened by the same Spirit, they recognized the Lord and confessed him with exultation. So let us also, gathered together by the Holy Spirit, proceed to the house of God to encounter Christ. There we shall find him and recognize him in the breaking of the bread until he comes again revealed in glory. This is the long-awaited feast of encounter, you might say. The feast of encounter. God, the bridegroom, Jesus, meeting his people, his believing people, that are ready to find a home for him. The temple now is the sacred humanity of Jesus. His flesh, the substance of his flesh, as the collect of the opening Mass said. He comes to dwell among us in the substance of his flesh. The prophet Ezekiel even speaks, not from today's Mass, but the prophet Ezekiel speaks of rivers of living water that would flow from the temple. Prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Where? On the cross, where his substance of his flesh was pierced, nailed to a cross. After his death, his heart was pierced, and rivers of living water flow forth from the temple. The Lord's birth in Bethlehem was the fulfillment of prophecy. Today, we celebrate the fulfillment of prophecy when we heard in the first reading from the prophet Malachi, "And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant you desire." The Son of God, Jesus, came to fulfill every single last prophecy concerning him. Every single last prophecy. Over 400 and some prophecies he fulfills. Not just the prophecy itself, but even the exact time. What are the chances of somebody fulfilling one prophecy, two prophecies, 5, 10? What are the odds? God himself comes to fulfill every single last prophecy. And what does that do? That strengthens faith. It strengthens credibility that we have a God who keeps his promises. And usually at Sunday Mass, the readings are directed to this purpose, to show us prophecy and fulfillment. The Old Testament shows us the prophecy, and the New Testament unveils the prophecy, shows forth the prophecy. St. Augustine says, the New Testament is concealed in the Old, and just as the Old Testament is revealed and fulfilled by the New, the unveiling. Jesus unveils, shows forth every prophecy concerning him. Today's gospel, according to St. Luke, recounts the fulfillment of the prophet Malachi. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was carried as a child into the temple. The temple was the most sacred place in the world, all in Israel. And it was the place where sacrifice and burnt offering were offered to God. The temple was a place of pilgrimage, where the people would come on different feasts throughout the year. The temple was the center point of worship in the life of the people of Israel. In short, the temple was the place where people went to encounter the living God. The Feast of the Presentation points to the truth that once again celebrated at Christmas, God has sought us out. God has visited his people, and he searches us out even before we search him out. He's on the move. Doesn't take away our freedom. He leaves our freedom entirely intact. He wants us to choose him, in other words. He doesn't come in like a violent dictator demanding his love. But he wants love. He leaves our freedom intact to love him. Today's feast has been also called Candlemas since the early days of the church. And it is a day where all the candles used throughout the year in churches and chapels are blessed. And I would bet many people here like candles. It's a sign of warmth, it's a sign of strength, it's a sign of comfort. Many people light candles in their home. Many people have candles that are exercised and blessed, and often pray in the presence of a blessed candle. There's something powerful just even in the gesture at Mass this morning of all of us lighting candles and processing in. That the candle that we hold in our hands, that you held in your hands this morning, is a symbol of your soul that's already been set ablaze, on fire. Again, I can't see it, but it's there in faith. I believe that your soul has been set on fire by baptism, by the sacraments. The candles give us a sense of hope. And a candle always burns in the sanctuary close to the real presence of Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Always, perpetually burning. That he is present among us. He is tabernacled among us. He has pitched his tent among us. He stays among us. Mother Angelica, years ago, she wrote a book called To Leave and Yet to Stay. He leaves in the ascension, sends at the right hand of the Father, but he stays among us in the sacraments, in the church, the Word of God, in grace, in one's neighbor. In churches, we may even have been taught to light a candle as a sign of prayer, offering to God a particular intention. And we might think that that candle is a reminder to God to remember us, but God does not need reminders. God is God. He doesn't need a reminder. We need reminders. That's why we do things like this. That's why we light candles in church, that it's a reminder of an offering of our prayer being offered to God. A candle, a light is lit on a candle, and a candle is being consumed even. The wax is being consumed. Candles just don't stay in one place. But as they burn, the candle is consumed. It goes down. The prophet Malachi spoke of even silver and gold being purified. And when things are purified, like silver and gold, the impurities come up to the surface. and those impurities are taken out. They need to be taken out in order to be shown forth as pure. The same in the Christian life. And through baptism and the sacraments, we are purified. And impurity comes up. That impurity needs to go away. It needs to be filtered out to live the life of grace. The light of the world that Mary and Joseph carried into the temple was not meant solely for the Jews, the chosen people, but as Simeon proclaimed, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Gentile means all nations, all peoples. Of all time, Christ came to save. The Son of God came into this world not simply to enlighten his own people, but to save all people. If anybody is saved at all, if anybody sees the face of Jesus after death, it's through him. It's not through anybody else. He's the Savior of the world. Jesus came into this world to set the world ablaze. And parents, you have been entrusted with children. When you bring your children to be baptized, a candle is given to you to represent the radical change within your child's soul. And you are given the instruction by the priest at baptism, receive the light of Christ, parents and godparents. This light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. These children of yours have been enlightened by Christ. They are to walk always as children of the light. May they keep the flame of faith alive in their hearts. When the Lord comes, may they go out to meet him with the saints in heavenly glory. That we might keep that flame that has been given to us in baptism and through the sacraments. In a sense, really, our entire life after baptism is a procession. Our entire life, even sleep, we need sleep in procession. Our entire life is a procession to go out and meet the Lord in eternal life. Whenever you pray the fourth joyful mystery of the rosary, the presentation of the Lord in the temple, it's worth offering your life back to God. At that moment, that mystery in particular, offer your life back to God as a gift. He's given you your life as a gift. Everything that you have is a gift. The only thing that you can claim for yourself as yours is what? Your sins. Everything else is a gift from God. In that mystery, we offer our lives back to God as a sincere and radical gift of self. And when we come into a church, the first thing that we do is dip our fingers in holy water to bless ourselves and to remind us that we have been consecrated to Christ for a sacred purpose, even for divine worship, by our baptism. We bless ourselves. We have become temples of the living God where his glory abides. And this world needs more than ever examples of fidelity, examples of consecration. Those of us that baptized, those of us who are consecrated to God in the religious life, who live the life of Jesus, poverty, chastity, and obedience, married couples, man and woman who are united in marriage. Couples need strength and fidelity. The world needs to see fidelity more than ever. The single people living in the world, consecrated to God, offering their lives back to God as a gift. And I end what is said with the Easter Vigil, right as the Easter candle, as it's lit after the fire, the priest says a prayer right before he processes in to the church with the Easter candle. May the light of Christ rising in glory dispel the darkness of our hearts and minds.